I know your legs
work. We
gotta
stop, dude.
Your legs work.
I'm editing this out. Okay. This is not how we're starting this.
My dog's disabled. I can say that.
Welcome back. We're just gonna leave people on that cliffhanger. The episode's gonna start with, my dog's disabled. I can say that. So you guys can forever wonder what he's talking about.
Okay, so you know what? That reminds me. I've been watching like a lot of like Theo Vaughn.
Yeah, he's great.
Where the heck is that guy from? Like Louisiana, Alabama, somewhere south of the Mason-Dixon line? God's country.
Yeah, somewhere around there.
Something like that. But everything he talks about, it's just like, you like that little tooth whistle I just did? I don't know if you heard
that. Do it on command.
No, I wish. I told you, I started drinking.
I start talking like this.
No, but like the way he describes stuff, he's like, that sounds good. That is awesome. He describes something. Like, he'd be talking literally about, like, a fat kid going, man, you know what I like? A good fat kid. Especially one who just, you know, he's kind of messed up in the head a little bit. Where he's like,
and you like, but it like, the kind that really likes, he really likes peanut butter, but no one really knows why.
Or it's like, he's just obsessed with pizza, and he tries to convince you, hey, pizza's awesome. It's got all your basic food groups. Got
and
your
he's
wheat
not wrong.
In your bread. You got your wheat, garlic. That's a vegetable right there. Cheese, dairy, pepperoni. Where do you think that came from? That's meat, brother. And then guess what?
That comes straight from the titties of cows.
I'm not even go Hawaiian. I'm talking about regular old tomato sauce. That's fruit, brother.
Have you seen the video? What was the video where he was talking about?
That's good.
He's like, you know what's the best feeling in the world is when you pet a dog.
And he just stays with you.
And he don't walk away.
He don't walk away.
That feels so good.
Or if he's talking about like, man, just, I didn't have a hose at my house, but just like,
I go
to someone's house and they just got a hose.
That hose
that's
water.
Free water. That's right in the mouth. Right in the dome hole or whatever.
Yeah,
he
was like, when
I take that to the dome.
When you pick up that
that hose.
That magical rope.
That magical rope. That's what it
stick
was.
Stick it right in your dome hole and you get that fresh agua. That fresh agua. Well, you be hanging out with them Mexican girls in the neighborhood and it's supposed to be water, but they say it like agua. You be teaching each other stuff. That's what you do when you be meeting these people. You be teaching each other stuff. They say agua. I'm like, what are you talking about?
But he makes it all sound so good.
We need Theo on the cast, dude.
Also, you know what I just realized?
What?
Yet again, we went about, 10 seconds before we started doing an impression of somebody else?
Yeah, but at least
damn
it
wasn't. Donald Trump. It's the worst.
Yeah, man.
He's a good old boy, but like in not like the scary racist kind of way. You know what I mean?
Dude, there was a video of it was him and some other person. They were doing some live thing and they're sitting at a desk and some girl comes up and starts saying, I don't even know what she was talking about. This what I'm saying isn't going to make any sense because I'm not articulating the actual situation. But like they're on a stage. It's Theo Vaughn and some other dude. And she gets, and she's like, I'm a vegan. And then he was like, some other dude was like, you're a vegan, whatever, whatever. And Theo Vaughn goes, yeah, yeah, whip him tits out. And I'm like, he goes, I'm just kidding. I'm like, what? It was so random. I got to find the clip. I want to see if I can find it and play it.
That's just, what's this guy's deal? He's a comedian, right? Like, that's how he got his start.
He's
probably
great. And that's why it's like on Joe Rogan, like listening to his podcast, he's like, you know, what's great about Theo Vaughn is he does this thing where you don't know if he's joking or not. Because that's just how he talks. Like, at least on like podcast and interviews, like that's just how he plays it off like he's just talking. And that's it's such a specific
but also,
type of comedy.
Also, big plus to Theo Vaughn, he does a lot of shit with Shane Gillis, I've seen. And just like, big plus.
Dude, perfect. When Shane Gillis goes on Theo Vaughn's podcast, I don't remember what his podcast is called, but those are great.
Bro, he's talking about that lady talking about, yeah, it's common for a old man to be with a young lady, but what do y'all think about a young man with an old lady or whatever. I don't know what the hell. And then all of a sudden Shane Gillis is like, bruh, you're giving me a rock hard right now listening to that ASMR. I'm like, what the hell?
Dang, dude. I was really trying to find this video because I've seen it floating around a couple times. And
Dude, don't worry about it. If people have got like Shane Gillis in their like search feed and it's just popping up as recommended.
When he told some lady to pull her tits out on stage.
This is a family podcast, dang it.
Is it? Are you sure about that?
Well, that's what I was kind of hoping it would be before I got on it, but that quickly changed after episode what? One?
That's you. I blame you.
Did I make this podcast worse?
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Definitely.
Really?
100%. This is better when they...
Because I was... No, I meant like vulgar.
Oh.
Like at a vulgarity level, is it like... I was wanting to come in at a very low vulgarity level.
You're wanting to what?
Come in at a very low... I wanted to come in.
Have we
done Trump impressions? Yes.
I'm sorry. But have we ever actually... I know we've done the impression where we say... And it sounds like we're just being nonsensical, immature boys when we go, I'm going to come. But it's based off of... I'm sure you guys have seen the Donald Trump video where...
Man,
where what's her name? Who's our vice president? Dude, I'm done today. I'm so tired.
Kamala Harris.
Thank you.
Okay, so
she's talking about immigrants or whatever, and which is she was talking about immigrants coming across the southern border, and she was like, "Do not come,
do not come." Okay.
And then
do
it cuts to Donald Trump, and he goes, "I'm gonna come,"
and everybody goes.
And
crazy.
somebody made like a clip. Where it was like a...
We need a video a cast beat. With like switchers and...
I know, but we had like theater. There was like a beat and then it's like a drop and then he goes, I'm gonna... And dude, when we found this... We found this and I showed Mac the first time he was ever on the podcast for Eternals.
And I wanted to like vomit. I laughed so hard.
Dude, so good.
We really need to not talk about like our inside jokes so much on this podcast.
Yeah, we probably shouldn't.
Because people are just like, this podcast fucking sucks.
Oh, I'm sure.
I don't know what the hell they're talking about. They're talking about things I need to see. Well, I can't see it. This is audio format only, dang it.
I can't find it, dude. Dang, dude.
I got a buddy-o. Golly, I need to stop drinking.
Golly. Hold on, wait.
I got a buddy named Julio. He's a very good video editor. You know how sick it would be if I could get him to come in here and do video for us?
This was not the... The one with like the
this
bass,
is the one
the
with the
EDM music.
Music
bass, dude.
Right,
but
just the clip.
Yeah,
just the clipped audio.
Oh goodness, hold on. Hold on. I'm so sorry, guys.
Do not come. Do not come.
I'm gonna come.
It's just funny that everyone starts cheering. I'm gonna come.
And honestly, I have no idea the context of his speech.
Oh, I don't
what
either.
He was talking about.
I don't either, dude.
Maybe he was referencing her. And they're just like,
if only he was
Donald
that clever, dude. But anyways, oh god, I found it. I found it. This is the best song you guys. Welcome back to another episode. We are 10 minutes. Can we go 5 minutes on the podcast without talking about Donald Trump?
Or trying to
you know how
impression?
How people are just going to be like, oh, yeah, the racist movie podcast.
Oh, you mean the white supremacy brother podcast?
Just because we talk about Donald Trump. And it's just because he's a funny guy. I didn't say he was a good
Tyler,
president.
I just
said he's a funny guy.
I'm glad you're not a Nazi fascist.
Look, I got it. Look, I'm going to be honest
bigot.
With you. The fact that he said he's running again is great just for comedians. It's great for comedy. That's what I'm excited
you know what
about.
You know what also is funny just for comedy? And
if the world's going to burn, we got to laugh with it.
Joe Biden's running again, so that's funny too. After he said to some guy in an interview, like, don't tell anybody, but off the record, I'm probably running again. We're running again. We're planning on running. And they're like, no, he's not running. We swear to God, he's not running.
Here we go.
Do not come.
Do not come, okay.
I'm gonna come.
Why does it fit so well?
Oh my god,
we're idiots.
Can we move on? Okay,
yeah,
so
okay,
yeah,
movie news. We got movie news. What do we want to do? What do we want to do? I don't know anything besides
life.
What we've been doing.
You want to hear about my life news, real quick?
Yeah, talk to me about your life.
I'm gonna get up early tomorrow because I'm gonna go to court.
You gotta go to court.
I gotta go to court.
What'd you do?
Woo! What do you think I did? Come on, you know me well enough.
You sped.
Whoa! Come on, I'm not a
you stole.
A reckless driver, dude. I'm not a reckless driver.
You murdered someone with your ninja skills.
No, people are claiming
that you're Tyler Gillette.
People are claiming harassment because I walked into a building and I said, I'm going to come.
Oh my God.
And they said, sir, you can't say that here. And I said, don't tell me what to say.
Oh, I'll say whatever I want. My head hurts. I'm not going to lie. I was not expecting that. Usually I expect that. I can see that coming from a I can see that coming from a mile away, but I did not see that coming at all.
I'm sorry. Right when I said we're going to move on. So, you were close the first time. Apparently.
Stop. Just tell me.
Apparently. I would like video proof of this. But apparently I didn't come to a full stop at a stop sign. And it was the end of the month. And you know that the whole end of the month, the police got to get their quotas in or whatever. So there was a cop stopped in a really weird spot where he was looking right at that stop sign. Because apparently maybe it's one where people run it a lot. I definitely slowed down. Like, I
That's
don't.
A thing.
I definitely am not like. I don't got to defend myself.
Is this
to you
in
guys.
Atlanta or is this like around here?
No, this was up in Alpharetta. No, Roswell.
Oh, yeah.
So I got to go to the Roswell.
Hey, that's my stomping ground.
So I was up in Roswell and I pull up to the stop sign. Like, I can, how it's positioned, you can see really far both directions. I knew it was clear and I went. I definitely slowed down. Maybe I got really close to stopping. Dude, I don't remember. I don't even remember after it happened.
You're on autopilot.
Yeah, dude. Yeah. I turned. And immediately he comes and pulls me over and he's like, do you know why I pulled you over? I was like, what? Why? And he was like, you didn't stop at that stop sign. I said, oh, I didn't come to a full stop. He goes, you didn't stop at all. And I'm like, okay, calm down, buddy.
All right.
If you don't stop yet, technically you don't stop at all. If you just slow down, you're not stopping. So sure. But the way he said it felt very condescending of like, you didn't even slow down. I'm like, there's no shot I could have made a 90-degree turn if I didn't slow down, and I know that I definitely slowed down.
Bro, hit that e-brake. You know what?
I wonder if you know how it is.
Hey,
no.
I was going to give you a really good Fast and Furious quote and see if you could nail what it was from, but we've already hit that bridge.
What?
I was going to say, it's because you're granny shifting, not double clutching like you should.
Okay, whatever. So, yeah, whatever. Maybe I probably didn't come to a full stop, so be it. But I could have just paid the fine.
Which was how much?
I don't know. I never looked it up.
Running.
Should probably look that up tonight.
So
huh?
You got to understand, speeding, it is serious. Do not get me wrong. But if, say, you're going 5 over or something like that, 10 over.
Yeah.
Still not as bad as running a stop sign or a red light. Because more accidents are caused by red lights and stop signs than just speeding.
Well.
Everybody speeds. Not everybody runs stop signs like you, Tyler.
Here we go. So basically, I've decided instead of just paying, I'm actually going to show up to court because I'm going to plead NOLO. Do you know what that is?
You got to understand, my wife works in traffic court.
Didn't know that.
So I know exactly what NOLO is, and that's a good idea.
Yeah, that's the only reason I'm showing up. So basically, I'll still have to pay. That's fine, but it won't show up on my record because my record is pretty clean, so it's like you can
won't
do that once every
insurance.
Like 5 years. That's all I'm worried about. Like, I'll pay a one-time fee, but I don't want my insurance to go up $150 for the next 7 years of my life. It's ridiculous.
I thought about doing that because I got something that's known as a super speeder.
Hey, so does Nate. Yeah, I'm calling you out, dude. And Nate's still gotta
well, here's the
out.
Thing. I got it. Basically what I did is you can plead with the people in court. In court, the solicitor, mm-hmm. the county solicitor, and literally this was all done through email. I'm like, hey, if I get a jump on this, go to traffic school, do all the stuff prior to when this is due, can I get the chart? Can I get it dropped down under a super speeder and do all that stuff? So it's not like anything on my license is as bad, you know? Because if you have like one ticket and then you get a super speeder, you could lose your license.
Yeah, that's crazy
in the state of Georgia. So, yeah, that's what I did. Yeah, I didn't want to waste my NOLO because I could, vehicular homicide could be a thing for anyone.
Can you use that for that?
I don't think
so. I was
so.
Going to say there's certain parameters.
The NOLO thing's just for your, license. If you,
it's basically you get one excuse, but you have to show up to court and just tell them I'm using it and that's it, and then you're done. Like, it's not going to take long. It's just annoying.
Also, I've got a bunch of like BS, like falling too closely kind of tickets and stuff. So
nice.
Whatever.
Nice. Anyway, so that's going to be super fun.
Bro, what have I been up to?
Wow, dude, nothing, what an interesting dude. Life you
nothing,
got.
Nothing, man.
We've been up to...
Oh, I told you, I got a side gig. I was showing you earlier.
That's pretty
cool.
I
have a side gig working concerts and stuff, running, like, setting up production and stuff.
Yeah.
I got to do a little person by the name of Pat Benatar. I don't know if you've heard of them. I mean, or her, Patricia.
Patricia.
That's what we call her. No, but
Patricia Benatar.
I got to set up a show for her and run spotlight and stuff. Damn, that lady is 70 in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Her and her husband, the guitarist, mm-hmm. who's an amazing guitarist. And this lady is running from left side of the stage to the right side of the stage.
Could you keep up with her spotlight wise?
Bro, I needed to sweat. I should have chugged a Red Bull before like getting up there. And then she was just wailing.
Crazy on you. Wow, dude. That's pretty cool, I guess.
I'm waiting
guess
for Jack Black to come around.
I
would love to do one of those shows.
Did something cool.
What did
told the podcast.
You ran a stop sign. We already knew.
That I was on a little show called Chicago PD. That's all. I just want to.
Oh, wait. That's a different show.
That's Law and Order. But yeah, I was on Chicago PD. Went up to Chicago to film that a couple weeks ago. I mean, you already know this, but I still haven't shared stories with you because I was waiting till the podcast. I still have stories to share. I've shared a couple, but not a lot of them.
Okay, share me the bestest story.
No, because I can't yet because it's not out. I just want to give everybody a tease to say that's something I've been up to. I'm not allowed to talk about actually what happens, and I'm not going to talk about stories and try to dodge around what actually happens on the show.
Yeah. Dude, you have such cool things. I have like, okay, I did the Pat Benatar thing, but like, what else am I doing? I'm trying to sell a camper. Major dad stuff.
Dude,
dad
so
vibes.
Exciting.
Daddy vibes. Right?
Daddy? Poppy!
Big daddy vibes.
Big father vibes. Big Mando vibes, dude. You're the Mando to my Grogu.
Aww.
Yeah, we'll talk about that in a minute. But first, let's get to some movie news.
Movie news. So we need like a little like audio, like musical jingle.
Movie news. I'll just do that every time.
We gotta clip that.
Movie news.
We're gonna clip that eventually
Sounds
if
awful.
We ever get around to it. Nope, that's it.
I hate it. So yeah, we let's start with this trailer that I just watched.
Holy cannoli!
The
new Flash trailer, bro. That has so many dang views. How many?
11 million
had?
Views, and it only came out what yesterday? A day ago.
Wow.
Like that. And let me tell you what excites me the most about that trailer, from what I'm seeing, is look, a superhero movie that is taking themselves seriously. Because I am so annoyed with the Marvel stuff I've been seeing, movies, and even the trailers, where it's like, we can't have a superhero movie now that it's like, even if they start out serious, it's like, even in the trailer, or at some point, it's like, oh, pee-pee. It's like, dude, what are we doing? Why are we...
Just saying the stupidest things.
Dude, it's like, the humor, it's like, why does every Marvel movie have to be humorous? That's not... The best Marvel movies are not known for their humor. They're not. If you talk to Marvel fans or superhero fans,
right.
The top Marvel movies, guarantee you, guaranteed.
Civil War,
Civil War, Winter Soldier, Endgame, Infinity War. None of those movies scream comedy. Are there comedic moments? Yeah, you can
absolutely.
Have comedic. That, like, in every serious movie, you'll have something where it's like, oh, this character does something funny, but it's not, it doesn't divert from the plot. Here's a good example from, Shang-Chi. I like Shang-Chi. Shang-Chi was good. I liked it. But even then, it's like, I remember the specific moment where he's talking about his past and how he changed his name from Shang to Sean. And he's on the airplane talking to his friend or whatever. And it's like this very serious moment of how, like, his dad used to basically, like, abuse him and, like, all this crazy training. And then out of nowhere, it's like, fish, chicken, or beef. And it just snaps you out of it because it's supposed to be... like out of nowhere and hilarious. And it's like, we were having a serious moment with this character and his backstory. And then it's like, oh, take the chicken. Oh, we're out of chicken. So beef or vegetable. It's like, what are we doing? Yeah. It's just so. It's like they just
the
have
way you just
to
described that was really good. I
inject
thank you for that.
Humor into and just
well, it's also
anyways.
they have a formula, and the thing is, their formula worked when it was new and fresh. I'm using air
but
quotes.
My point is,
but
the
like,
best movies, even back in the day, didn't do that.
Well, that's the thing. Well, here you go. It's. They did to a degree.
No.
I think it's to a degree thing. No. But they're like, oh, people like that part of that little bit of comedy.
Yeah,
let's
again,
put,
you can have comedic moments.
Steroids.
But it's not, you don't stop the entire plot to make a joke. Like, that's a perfect example was Shang-Chi, right? But like Civil War, where it's like they went and picked up Ant-Man, Scott Lang,
yeah,
and to be a part of the team, and they're at like the parking garage of the airport. And so it's like, yeah, we got him. They open the door. He like jolts awake and he goes, oh my gosh. You're Captain America.
And
I love you too.
And you're cool
you're Captain
too.
America. It's like, that's funny because that's his character. And it's yeah. like, and, you know, Steve Rogers still acts the way he's going to act. And it's like, oh, this doofus. But it like, it just makes sense. It doesn't
here,
detract.
I got
from
one for
plot.
You for Infinity War. The part where everybody's coming to Wakanda and Thor comes and he does his thing. Bring me Thanos, whatever. Yeah. And all of a sudden, Steve Rogers meets Groot, and he goes, "I am Groot." And he goes, "I am Steve Rogers."
Yeah, it was a little. That was a little much.
It's
there,
a little much.
There's that's, moments. There's moments.
I mean, I get it because he's a guy who does. He kind of doesn't understand stuff, but that's already been like rectified because he's no longer a man out of time. He's
well,
adjusted.
Yeah. Okay, but I don't think that but, the joke isn't that. The joke is he's never met an alien tree, so he doesn't know him saying "I am Groot" is the only thing he can say. Anybody would reply with "I am" in your name. So at least it still fits
yeah,
a little better,
true.
But it's still like, nah, we're in a serious moment. Yeah. So I'm not saying every beat of these movies are amazing, but it's not like every second they're doing these things forcing it down your throat.
So then I have a question for you, because Guardians of the Galaxy is like literally half comedy.
Yes,
but
that
it's
is
designed
the tone,
to be
yes,
that way.
Yes.
But
yes.
It's designed to be that way.
And I think, again, I'm not going to say I'm a master at knowing how to write comedy or write scripts. So take this with a grain of salt because I've never written a comedy before. Okay. But
maybe
I was not a huge fan of the second Guardians of the Galaxy. I thought the comedy was forced. The first one was just well written. The jokes were well written. They were in their place properly, and it just made sense for what they were going for. The second one I thought was heavy handed with the comedy. I just thought it wasn't written as well. That's a very blanket statement. If we had a whole episode where we're comparing Guardians 1 and 2, I'd actually watch both of them and actually like write down notes to be able to
right.
really prove my point. But anyway,
I think I know what you're saying because they did something and they're like, oh, that worked, so let's just give them more of that. When
yes.
That's not what it needed. Same thing, like, more recently,
yeah.
Ragnarok and
yeah,
Love yeah. and Thunder. Anyways.
Anyways, this is a huge derailment from I liked
the
Flash trailer was like, obviously it's very fan servicey. I don't know if the movie's going to be good. It was just a refreshing like switch of pace, I feel like, because it feels like, oh yeah, of course it's gonna be comedy, it's the Flash, he's gonna say some dumb stuff, but like it felt like there was some, they're trying to make something serious and epic, and I'm like, hey, I missed that
right.
Hopefully this will be good. I don't know if it's gonna be good. I'll watch it.
Yeah, I and I it frustrates me that you haven't seen the Tim Burton Batman movies.
Nope.
Even if we're gonna,
maybe I'll watch them before Flash comes out.
I think we should only because it's content, I guess.
Yeah, it's topical.
You know, it's topical, it's content. And it preps you, and it'll probably get you. There are a lot of references just in the trailer alone
yeah.
that are to those movies that are very iconic moments.
Yeah.
I'm not going to tell you which ones they were.
Okay.
Because you're going to be like, so?
Yeah, so, it won't mean anything if I haven't seen the movies.
No, but I enjoyed it just imagery-wise. I've said it a million times, and I will keep saying that exact line a million times. Visually, it looks really cool. Like,
yeah,
because
yeah.
BVS looked amazing.
Yeah,
I
didn't hate Batman vs.
You know,
Superman,
like visually, like I'm
did.
Talking about just from the trailer standpoint. That's
yeah.
what I mean. It looked amazing. Justice League, from a visual standpoint, looked amazing. You know, each of those films have their own issues and stuff, which we won't get into. But you can't
yeah.
judge a book by its cover. But this cover looks really nice.
That's a good way to put it.
I mean, that's just how it is. The same things with this. With Ant-Man, the cover looked really nice.
Man, and it seemed like they were going to take it pretty seriously, and they did not.
And Mario, the cover looked eh, and it was really nice.
Did we ever do Ant-Man?
No, we didn't.
You haven't seen it, have you? Still.
I'm gonna come.
Yeah, you haven't seen it.
No, I haven't.
That's crazy, though.
I'm literally waiting.
It's gonna come out of Disney Plus very soon.
And after I've heard what you've said about it, I'm like,
But that's crazy, dude. Imagine, go back 4 years.
I want to support cinema, but I don't want to support crappy cinema.
Dude, imagine, go back 4 years. Did you ever think there was going to be a time where you were like, oh, I'm going to not see a Marvel movie? Or not be excited about it, or at least not see it till it comes out. Because
when Thor came out, I was like, I'm not watching
Thor. I said 4 years ago.
Oh, yeah, that's true. No, I literally was
like... Oh, you mean the first Thor?
Yeah.
Oh, dang.
Like, okay. I watched, like, Iron Man 1 and 2 and shit, and, like, this is awesome. And I can't wait for more of these things. And I saw Captain America, and I was like, this is great. I still never saw Thor.
Wow.
And
I still am excited.
I literally saw Thor, like, right before Avengers came out.
I am excited, though, still for Guardians 3.
Yeah.
I say that as far as, like, the trailers look good. Can't judge book by its cover. Thought Ant-Man was going to be good. But I am still excited because I want it to be good.
I want it to be good too.
I really want it to be good.
I don't want them to just do nothing. So the Christmas special, it was just so much comedy, and I think that's where it lacked. I mean, I know it's supposed to be short and sweet.
It was fine. Like, it was a Christmas special for me. It was fine.
I think if they try to just overload just the jokes and the non-seriousness, because Chris Pratt, amazing actor. He does.
Yeah.
He can do serious scenes very well, and he should. Like,
I heard.
Oh, I want it to be good. I want it to
I
be good.
Heard audience saying, or not audio, critics or whoever, people who have seen it, right?
I've oh, you mean people the people saying, who constantly do crappy scores to good movies, those people?
But anyway, saying, like, it's one of the most emotional Marvel movies. Which I hope is true. You know, you never know what they're saying. That's just like they said, best movie since Endgame about every movie that's come out since, and that's okay, sure. But, like...
that's all they can say.
Yeah, so for me, it's like...
Guess what the Marvels is going to be? But best movie since Endgame.
But, dude... Seeing the scenes in the trailer of Rocket, like, looking all beat up and stuff, and then there's one shot of Chris Pratt when he's, like...
Screaming
out. There's, like, saliva coming off it. Like, it looks so real, raw, and visceral, and I'm like, this scene in and of itself has to be good.
See,
that one shot, those two shots gave me so much hope for the movie.
I think it's a big wool over your eyes maneuver.
But at least...
They're pulling your leg. It's going to be someone else. It's going to be, like, Gamora.
I'm thinking so, too, because it seems so obvious that they're going to kill Rocket, and everyone's talking about it. They made it seem that way that I feel like it's too obvious.
Well, also,
only reason that I'm still thinking it might be Rocket, little inside scoop here, which you know about this, and I think I talked about this on the podcast, I have a hat. It's a Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3 hat. I got it for Christmas because my mom knew somebody who worked on set. They got a hat because all the crew and stuff. There's always like production hats, right?
Right. Crew hats.
Right. So they all got a hat. And apparently he didn't want it. So my mom got it from him and got it for me for a Christmas gift. This hat says Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3 on the back. And on the front is a silhouette of Rocket. And it is outlined in, like, rainbow color. And to me, that seems like a little bit of a tribute to the character.
You know what I think?
Even though I know that his story and his origin story is going to have a big impact, so maybe it's not.
I think Chris Pratt is just extremely, anti-LGBTQ plus AI apostrophe S. And he's just, Rocket's like, I'm gay.
And then
Star-Lord's like.
And so Rocket. And so Rocket. Kills Star-Lord.
Yep.
That's deep. Super deep.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
He's just not very open-minded, you know?
I don't have any other movie news.
No, last thing on Guardians. Yeah. There was a little bit of a TV spot released of a scene, and...
Don't you spoil
it
for me.
I'm not going to tell you what's in the scene, but it is just another thing that's kind of tying... It's like about Rocket, and it's kind of like... That's going to get you in the feels.
Yeah, that's why I don't want
this
to
movie
it.
Is going to get you in the feels, specifically you.
It better.
And it is going to rocket your world.
Wow, that sucked. You suck.
I'm sorry. Sorry, guys. Sorry.
Yeah, we'll see how it is. It's coming up. It's next week. I would like our next week podcast to be on it if we can make it happen.
Oh, yes. I would love to as well, but I've got, baby pictures I got to take for paternity pictures, things like that. As a father to be,
oh, I'm sorry. What?
All right, last thing. All right. A little bird told me, and by little bird, I mean I saw this online, and I don't know if it's true or not.
Oh,
it's
boy.
A rumor. Because they've already kind of greenlit another trilogy for Star Wars.
Oh God.
I thought you already knew that. Anyways, a special character that we already know of, played by Ridley Scott, or not Ridley Scott, Daisy Ridley. Ridley Scott's a director. Ooh, that's
weird.
Yeah, I was
like, what?
Awkward.
Yeah.
And probably would be a better change. Now that I think about it.
Have him play
No, Rey. Daisy Ridley returns as Rey, but she's not the main character. She's not who this is about.
Thank goodness.
Thank
because
the
Nothing
Lord.
Against...
It's not against
Daisy
her.
Ridley?
It's about
is that her name?
Her name's Daisy Ridley.
Thank you.
It's not that. Against her.
She seems great person, and I think she's a fantastic actress.
Exactly.
Her
the
character
way she was written,
sucks,
the way
dude.
She was written, they did her dirty.
Yes. So they need to retire that character.
That's the thing. Is like I don't care if she's...
Why are we still trying to loop in the Skywalkers and everything that has to do with them? Move on and do a different. Mother freaking story. Holy
well,
shadig.
Well, apparently it? She's supposed to be like,
dude,
the way, you know how Luke was starting the Jedi again and training.
I don't care.
She's going to be that
go
character.
Completely different. No, I don't care. Be done. For love of God. It is Star Wars. It's a galaxy that is with planets, millions of planets, light years apart. There's a vast galaxy. You know how many stories you can tell? Tell a different gosh darn story for once, please.
I'm still on the whole... If Anakin was supposed to bring balance to the Force, he did a really shitty
Jedis
job.
Jedis are a thing. They get wiped out. They come back. They get wiped out. They come back. They, who cares? Oh, my God. How many times are we going to do that? I'm so done, dude.
Hey.
Star Wars is so annoying.
Who would have thought? Who would have thought?
I'd love to be in Star Wars. Don't get me wrong.
That being said, Mr. Mouse, please.
Again, because the thing is, I always want to give something a chance. So for me, it's like, I'm not going to write off the next thing that comes out. Like, I can talk about something that's already come out. Please, hire me on something. I'm still down to be in something and give something a chance. I think that Marvel and Star Wars can turn around. Hopefully, they start listening to their fans, and they're like, oh, yeah, we should stop doing what we're doing. It's proof you can make good stuff. They've made good stuff.
Right.
People make mistakes. Guys have made
even,
a few of them.
Even billionaires.
But, dude,
make
just
mistakes.
Fix it. We know you can make good stuff.
How about this, Tyler? You, Tyler. What's your middle name?
I thought we were friends.
What's your middle name?
I thought we were friends.
Tyler, I thought we were friends. Gillette. You should be the one to star in the next trilogy. You be the main character because you would be someone who brings passion, ingenuity, feeling, care about the storyline, caring about your character, caring about the universe. You'd be perfect. I'm putting in my 2 cents in.
Yeah, because that's
Tyler, 2025 Star Wars.
Yeah, because that's what they want from their actors.
A big fan.
Because they're definitely gonna listen to the actors. Not that they don't, but you know what I mean. You know.
I really don't think I should be using the Force to change my eyes.
They're like,
to
that's
blue.
Cool. Our script is written. We're on a time frame. You got to do this.
Yeah. You should be an adult Grogu.
Oh, my God. Dude, Grogu sucks. Grogu is garbage.
Let's get into the topic. We are here to talk about Mandalorian. We were supposed to do episodes 5 and 6, but we were like, screw it. Let's do 5, 6, 7, and 8 and just
dude, after the last one, show. We said I'm not going to do an episode for every episode that comes out.
No,
like,
it
wait
wasn't
for
episode,
it to
every other episode.
I know, but we did two of those, and I said, we're not doing that anymore. We're going to wait till it's done.
You gotta
watch all the episodes.
Rip the Band-Aid.
And then we'll just... Because I had a feeling that my feelings about the show were not going to change.
Mando really sucks balls.
And guess what? They didn't change. My opinions did not change. I'm just going to be saying the same thing. It's not good.
All right, let's get into this. Holy crap. How could you... start off so badly and slowly and act like you're building towards something and not build towards anything at all.
That's how I felt about WandaVision. I don't know why that's what came into my brain.
Hey, well,
anyways.
I mean, that's not, you're not wrong.
Okay.
Man, I had a whole segment of Chuck Norris jokes I wanted to say. We'll save it for next podcast. Chuck Norris jokes have just been on my mind lately. Okay. Episode 5. So this is probably the greatest thing that was in this show. Episode 5. There's a cameo from a character who you don't even know. He's from Rebels. His name's Zeb. He's a freaking pilot, and he's a big cat Wookiee man. He's not even a Wookiee. He's like a big cat man.
What are you talking about?
He's a cameo. He's part of the Rebel Alliance, and he's, well, I guess it's not the Rebels anymore. They're the New Republic. But he's a character that cameoed, and he's in there for like the, what's the bald Asian guy who's a freaking starfighter pilot?
Dude, I don't know what you're talking about.
You don't know the one Asian guy in the whole show?
Yeah, sure.
He's the pilot who kind of helps him.
Oh, like, yeah. I don't know his name.
Well, he's in a bar, and this big cat man who's completely CG comes up to him. He's a character from another show who's like a big character in the show.
Oh, cool.
Cool.
And
you don't
even
know.
The best part, dude.
That's the best part of that episode.
The episode. I thought you meant like the whole show.
Oh, and Tim Meadows was kind of cool. The black guy who's the colonel.
Colonel?
I always say colonel. Colonel?
Colonel. Dude, that's the dumbest word in the English language. Why do we spell colonel, that sound with an R?
The
if anyone was like, hey, say this word, they'd be like, oh, colonel. They'd be like, oh, no, that L makes an R noise.
That's so racist.
What?
I start talking about an Asian guy, and you're like, L's make R noises.
Okay.
That's so racist. Colonel.
You're racist.
Yeah.
So, it's bad. I was going to let you kind of express... let me, I guess I'll start as far as like,
And there's a cool little reference in that episode where Greef Karga is talking to Mando while he's fighting these pirates and the seaweed man.
Yeah.
The big pirate captain.
Man, yeah.
I call him the seaweed man.
All right.
He goes, be careful up there. They've got you outnumbered 10-1. And he goes, that's like a nod to like Han Solo.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, instead of saying, don't tell me the odds. He's like,
never tell me the
he's
odds.
He's like, I like those odds.
Yeah. Whatever.
I was like, oh, that's kind of sexy.
So. I know you have a lot of like small things you're gonna hit,
but
I
like,
wanted to
a
hit
a lot of dumb things.
I want to hit like the overall before we go into the specifics. So for me, okay, one of the big problems which I discussed the last time is how they treat Grogu, because he is treated like a 2-year-old
or an adult or a completely capable adult.
I'm sorry, not treated. Treated very differently. He is portrayed as a 2-year-old.
Yep.
He makes goo goo gaga noises. He goes, eh,
well, at least he knows how to completely control a basic.
We're not
killing robot.
I'm getting there. So this is why I said the stuff like when they were, I said this in the last episode, so I'll be quick, but like training him in the ways of the Force, having him make these decisions that a 2-year-old should not be making, and don't give me the, oh, he's really 50 something years old. Okay. Yes. But here's the thing. If you age and you can live to be 10,000 years old, usually it's like percentage wise, right? You're in the first 10% of your life or whatever.
Right.
Like dogs. We call dogs old when they hit 7 because they're only a puppy for the first year.
Dude,
but you are still
eight.
A child as human form.
My dog's 8.
When you're
so
still
old.
10, 12 years old, you're a child. You're a teenager when you're 13. You're only a puppy when you're 1 or 2.
Yeah.
So that's how aging works, okay? And it's very clear because Grogu is 50, but he still goes, I'm watching the show with subtitles, and it says Grogu coos because he's cooing. He's making little coo-coo-coo noises.
Coo-coo-coo-coo.
So like, to make him do all these things, and they can't decide how to treat him because they're making him make the decisions as if he's an adult, but he's very clearly not. And then,
okay, so I used to know this math. Okay, so how old was Yoda when he died? What, 80?
I don't know.
Or 800 or something like that, or 400?
I don't know.
I can't remember what it was. And I'm trying to remember how old Yoda is supposed to be technically in human years.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's maybe like 4, something like that. And basically, the character sucks. The character should be speaking by logic. But then again, they're probably going to make people think, oh, because he's a specific alien species, they don't talk until they're at least 100. It's like, why?
Don't portray a character to be like a baby and then have it make adult decisions, be able to do adult things.
Yeah. because or talk they do to that, it like an adult.
And then, this is what's ridiculous. We get to the episode where the robot, the killer robot,
IG-11,
who helped them in like the first, like,
IG-11,
was supposed to kill Grogu, and then he changed and was supposed to help him. They reprogrammed him so he's basically a mech suit now, and then they put Grogu into the mech suit so he can pilot it.
Smart.
And then Mando says, hey, this isn't a good idea. He's too young to be handling heavy machinery.
And then he just
but
is amazing.
But you're going to take it. No, I'm just saying the fact that he now all of a sudden has a problem with it. While in the past, he's taken him on death-defying, super dangerous missions that could get him killed at any moment.
Or like previous, like the previous one or two episodes, he's going with him to Mandalore. And
yes.
Like, hey, follow me into this cavern where there could possibly be killer robot aliens.
Dude, it's...
Quick, go back to freaking...
And
find
right
your
after...
way all the way back to Boba... Bo-Katan, and
here's
bring
the, and then right after that, they're like, we have to have volunteers from both sides to go do this thing on Mandalore, and everyone like takes their time going like, I'll go.
Death mission, by the way.
Yes, and the first person to say I'll go is the Mandalorian, is Din Djarin, and he goes, I'll go, and Grogu too. What? You were just... Dude, it's so... And here's the thing. I know that Din Djarin is very skeptical of droids. That has been made known for many, many seasons, okay? Since we've met him, he's not trust droids, and
right.
He says that outright. So I understand, like, if you give me the excuse, I'll play devil's advocate, where he's like, he really believes in Grogu, he knows he can do this, but that's his excuse of saying, I don't want him involved with a droid that who knows if it does come alive and something happens or whatever. It's
well,
a Nexus, so he's like...
They do talk about it.
Right, so if he was like, he doesn't like the droids, so... But that doesn't follow fully because he did try to get that droid remade at the beginning because he trusted him as the one droid he trusted.
Right.
But even if you're still like, oh, he doesn't trust putting Grogu inside a previous droid that is now a mech suit. Okay, maybe.
Well, they do explain that. I think that's a silly point just because they do explain it because Grief Cargo is like, it's basically a vehicle now. That's all it is. They took out all
right,
the
I'm trying to play
stuff.
Devil's advocate, right? So it's like, I get... But even if you still try to make that point, which isn't a strong point, you are proving... You're still proving the fact of how you're portraying him as a child because he just is derping around with this machine and he's just going, yes. And they played
that joke so
long where he was going, yes, walking down the street.
That lasted about,
I'm like,
is 20
this,
seconds
dude,
too
I
would, long.
I'm like, is this supposed to be funny? I'm watching it, and I literally went, oh, my God, stop. Like, I said that out loud to myself. It was so annoying. And then he grabs, and this isn't because he can't control the mech suit. He grabs food from a vendor and just starts eating it because he doesn't understand. He's like, no, you have to pay for that. He doesn't get it. Why? Because he's a child.
He's a baby.
And he's treating him like a child because he's like, no, you have to pay for that. Then he grabs a piece of fruit and squeezes it. It's like, dude, make up your mind.
It's like they don't know how to write him. It's like they're not consistent.
He wasn't even supposed to be in the show.
No, he wasn't. They don't know what the freak
he sells merch.
Jon
Favreau didn't even want him in the show anymore. From what I've read, executives said
but
we have to keep him in
the
show.
But the thing is, like, okay, I get it. They want to keep him in the show. I get that. Whatever. But freaking just be consistent. It makes no sense to go from one thing to the other. Also, it's just like,
and then
like you said, the frustrating thing is, like you said, why would they take a child who is not even in a... They have this whole, like, concept of an apprentice Mandalorian now, which is a thing, and... He's not even that yet. Like, so why are you going to bring him into, like, battles and stuff? It's kind of fucked up.
But another thing I got to... The episode where there's Jack Black and... Who was the lady? Was that a...
That's, what's her name? Lizzo.
Okay. She literally says, oh, can I hold the baby? And
yes,
he goes, he doesn't do well to strangers. And then he flips over into her arms and is carried like a baby and treated like a child. And it's like... You're showing me that this is a baby. And then also I have so many problems.
Please talk about the part where they're playing like whatever it is, hopscotch, whatever, cricket or whatever it's called. I don't know what the hell. And he literally gets the concept of a game, is able to make her
force.
He's using the force to make her win because he gets the concept of that. Bull crap.
But
he can't understand the private property and paying for food.
But Mando says, I think he's too young to be operating heavy machinery.
Yep. It's basically like a bulldozer.
In the beginning of this season, he had him fight somebody. And all these other people like, he's too young. He goes, no, he's got it. He's smart. He's, trust me, he's got it. He looks like a kid. He's got it. And was like, you fight this kid.
Yeah, here's a paintball gun. Have fun.
What?
Without wearing any kind of eye protection.
Well, it's not even, like, it could have been anything. It's like, yeah, no, they got to shoot each other. But the, I'm pretty sure, who was it that picked, the challenger picks what the challenge is going to be. So the other kid, I could be mistaken, but I think the other kid said, I want to do the darts.
Yep.
Before that even happened, Mando said, you can fight him. And right before that, we saw two other Mandalorians challenging off, and they were fighting, and then they was like, all right, Grogu's next. You fight this guy. You'll be fine. Not even knowing what the challenge was going to be. And we just saw two Mandalorians fighting, like brawling. And you want him to fight a human child that is ten times taller than him?
I
want to
see them go at each other with vibro knives.
Dude, it breaks, just that breaks all Mandalorian, let alone the other dumb decisions all these characters make that
make
the no
sense. The continuity of things that make sense is just so...
There is no roller continuity. It's not a continuity.
Roller coaster of...
There is
of
no continuity.
Not, yeah, for real.
None.
Literally. So, like, you want to know something that's really stupid? There's been this whole thing last season when Mando... Was it last season where Mando got that, like, badass Beskar spear?
Yeah, it was last
season. But you remember that, right? He had this big spear, and they melted it down. Well, the whole reason of them melting it down was because Mandalorians don't use Beskar for weaponry.
Really?
That's like a big point, and the armorer says that to Din Djarin. That was like a big thing. I'm like, oh, wow, that makes sense, because they only wear his armor, and there is no, like, Beskar armors or armaments of, like, weaponry and stuff. I'm like, okay, that's cool lore. You know what the armorer uses as weapons? Freaking Beskar, like, hammers and wrenches and shit. And I'm like, this is so stupid. I'm about to, like, lose it.
Dude,
which I was kind of hoping.
They go back on everything.
I was kind of hoping she was going to be, like, a bad guy. Kind of like
decisions,
a spy or something. That would have been cool. That would have been way more interesting than what they've been doing.
The decisions that they make are either don't matter or happen so quickly that they don't matter to the plot. Like, for example, last episode, they're escaping the planet of Mandalore because they found out it was a hideout for
Imperial,
Moff Gideon and all of his troops or whatever. And they're trying to escape, and they're like, yeah, let's hang out in this, like, garden cave thing or whatever.
Right.
And they're like, we got to escape. And they're like, we'll be here. We can stay here for a while until our backup arrives. They get there. They say about five sentences to each other, go, your backup's here. And I'm like, why did we even come here?
Makes
like,
no
just
sense.
For the story, it didn't serve an interesting purpose. Not that that couldn't happen in real life. Like, you go somewhere, oh, backup's here sooner. But it's like, why? They're just going from place to place, saying something that's very apparent, and then just, like, it should have importance, but it doesn't.
It's like the air in a freaking chip bag, where it's just filler. It doesn't do anything. It's just there.
They, like, say things like they should be important, but then they're not.
You remember when the armorer takes all the wounded people and the people that were, like, dying of, I don't know, up to the ship?
Yeah,
well, guess what they do
them?
10 minutes later? They come down from the ship and now are fighting everyone.
But are those the same people? Like, are
well,
they well
if not,
now
they're
to fight?
All dead on the ship because it crashed down.
Dude, the one thing I'm very happy about, because I was like, this show is written so poorly that when the guy who actually, like, took the big cruiser ship or whatever and was, like, plummeting, he's like, come in, I'm going to crash it into the base or whatever. And I was like, he has a jetpack on. Please, as it's going down, fly out of the ship.
Yeah.
Don't be dumb and
you just
go
aim
down
it
with
and
you.
Go.
Because I was like, according to this so far, what I've seen from the show, he's gonna sacrifice himself driving into the ground when he doesn't need to. Thank God they wrote it to where he shot the window open and flew out. I was like, wow, the smartest decision they've made.
It's just,
and here's another thing. Apparently, the... Am I wrong in saying the Mandalorians, at least the other group of Mandalorians, the ones that do take their helmets off, are kind of like, it seems like all the Mandalorians are like this, actually, kind of don't really have a home, and they're kind of trying to find a home. Am I wrong?
They're nomads, and they find a home on Nevarro. They win it because they win it from Greef Karga for defending it against the pirates. They have this whole just... Half, I don't know how much, but he, basically, the way they make it sound is that he runs the planet. That's the way they make it sound. It's not a town. It's literally a whole planet.
Yeah.
And they're like, that's got to be a good portion of the planet that they just gave real estate.
Yeah.
They have a home now. They have no reason to fight. Then the next immediate next thing they do, we're taking back Mandalore. And I'm like,
it's like, can you look? What? I get taking back your home planet. You have a home. And like now you want to level up and go take back your home planet because you finally are established.
Save
and
it can for actually, another season.
That's what I'm saying. It's like, okay, but like you need to rally your troops here and like actually come up with a plan, not just tomorrow decide.
That's the thing is I was super excited. When they did that, I'm like, oh, that's a good thing. They're homeless. They have a place now. And I'm like, now they can build up and whatever can happen next will be great. Well, no, now they just threw all that away. I guess Din Djarin owns all of that now.
Okay, here's what I was going to say, though, like the huge part, which that's a good point. I didn't think of that. But
it pissed me off.
What makes me upset is the fact that it seems like both of the factions of the Mandalorians are trying to find a home, right? Yeah, they are kind of like nomads.
See.
Bro, they have one. The next shot after Bo-Katan and Din Djarin go to try to get the other faction to join them, when they're coming back to Navarro, there is a ginormous starship cruiser.
That's basically a home.
It is. It's massive. It's like the size of an Imperial. What is it called? An Imperial Star Cruiser?
I think it's an Imperial Star Cruiser.
Is it a Star Cruiser?
Dude, I think it's the next step down.
They are massive.
I think it's like it's not as big as a Star Cruiser, but I think it's the next step down.
But you can see the ships flying next to it that are like the small ships.
Right.
And even those small ships, when they take them in the battle, they have all those seats for all the people and they drop them in. Dude, this is like there is. That's
like
a home.
They're like a mom's minivan.
They don't need to be scrounging around on planets. They should be living in the ship that is. It's not like it's a rundown ship. We saw the inside of it. It is very well taken care of.
Yeah.
It's like, why? It just they show us a problem that these characters have, and then they go, oh, it's fixed, and then they show a thing that goes, but it was actually fixed forever ago. We just don't want to talk about it. And I'm like,
you know what else is pretty
what?
Stupid? So the Mandalorians are very, I guess, technologically, you know, efficient, you know, I guess, race of people, known from like watching Clone Wars and things like that, and just the technology that they operate with is weaponry.
Yeah,
I get it, but their homeworld was destroyed. Not everything could have been destroyed. The freaking homeless guys that are just wandering Mandalore have been there the entire time.
Yeah.
You think they could have made a spaceship? I'm just saying.
You're thinking they should have been able to?
Yeah. I mean, they basically have like
it was pretty apocalyptic there.
I know, but like still.
The only ship they made like some, or they had some like ship. You know what I mean? That like sailed and went on land.
A little pirate boat.
Okay, but one of the other biggest problems, which shout out to Nate. Nate, if you're listening, he mentioned this on the last podcast saying that like Din Djarin isn't really a character. We don't know anything about him. And so he's very
We know about 10 seconds of his early life before he got
no backstory
taken by the Mandalorians. And then season one, that's all we know.
And then something that I have kind of said that I branched off of that, which was his character development that he had in the first two seasons was actually made them pretty good, completely went
gone.
Reverse, backwards, because it was interesting that he was brought up by this creed. It's almost like the Jedi. So in the early days of the Jedi, I've seen people who, I don't know if I've seen exactly George Lucas himself, but people who have worked with him on lots of the Star Wars movies, like the earlier movies, say that the Jedi lost their way. And that was the point, is the fact that they lost their way back in episodes like 1, 2, and 3, because they were so caught up with all these idealistic things that they had to do to remain morally just, I guess. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Like they can't love, you know what I mean? They have to completely exile themselves from all emotions. And basically when Luke Skywalker comes around, he kind of understands and bridges that gap of like, that's not true. That makes us closed off. And it makes us worse as people and worse as warriors and all that kind of stuff. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, like, that is kind of a similar story that was happening with the Mandalorians, from what I understood. Was like, Din Djarin was like, oh, I have to wear my helmet. This is the creed. This is the way. But he learns throughout season 1 and 2 that, like, by meeting Bo-Katan, that, like, hey, maybe we don't have to. There's different factions that believe in different things, and I'm just doing these things because I'm told to. And so it was a very interesting character development. He was actually making his own decisions, and all that kind of stuff.
He was learning to be independent and, yes. And learn to make decisions for himself. And it was cool. And then all of a sudden, that would just all got scrapped.
And
literally,
we don't know why. They never told us. Season 3 comes around, and he goes, I need to rebathe myself in the blood. In the waters?
In the blood.
In the blood.
Praise Jesus.
In the blood of Christ.
And anyways, he gets saved and he gets baptized.
But he just
by a giant monster.
But he never says why. He just out of nowhere, the beginning of season 3, he's like, I need to redeem myself and stay keep my helmet.
That's also another thing from Book of Boba Fett. They do kind of, that's where he gets the idea to go and do that.
But I've heard you and Nate both recap that and another friend of mine. And from what you guys have said, they didn't give you much. They just said he's
literally
going to do it.
The only thing to watch in Boba Fett that's remotely interesting is all the stuff with him in it. It's still worth watching those parts. Again, it's just context, but we've already filled you in on that. So if you want to watch it, that's up to you.
I'm not going to.
Well, it's better than season 3.
I struggled through this to make sure this,
but
watching
also,
these was done.
So, touching base on that, so also Bo-Katan gets into that, and she's like, okay, I guess I'm going to start wearing my helmet all the time now, and she gets into that whole thing, whether she wants to or not. Then she gets told,
yes,
remove
that's what I was going to get into next.
Remove your helmet.
So it,
and I'm like, stupid armorer lady, make up your freaking mind what you want to do with these people. It's like, oh, she can walk in the light and in the dark. How about just say,
no sense.
Hey, because you know what it's like to be both. Won't you just go do it instead of take?
No, it doesn't make any sense because she's basically saying it's okay to not wear it, but only you. Why? We specifically
abuse of power.
Was the one that said once she got there and said she hasn't shown her face since bathing because she also went in to save Din Djarin. She's like, have you taken your helmet off since? She was like, no. She says, then technically you're good. You're in the creed. She was very specific of like, you keep your helmet on too. Because she was not about that whole other faction that removed their helmets. But then out of nowhere, she's like, oh, you can again. No one else, though. There's no consistency. Is it good? Is it bad? No.
And then everyone, without even talking and things being explained to them, all of the people that are part of the creed, the children of the watch and stuff, they all see her walk away and go off with Din. With Djarin, because that's his... Apparently, they're going Japanese with the whole surname thing where the surname comes first. Very weird for Star Wars. But they all see her take her helmet off and go on her merry way, and they don't go.
Well, they said something, but she said, oh, she's going to play both sides or something, whatever. But there was
plays
a very.
The both teams.
Yeah, it was a very bad explanation, and it was like there were no questions.
And everyone's
asked.
Just
it
like,
is,
okay.
No, they all go. This is the way. I hate this is the way. I said that before.
They said that about 10 million times too much in this show. It's like, if there's anything remotely questionable or anything, they're just like, well, this is the way, so you can just suck my fatty. You know,
dude,
like, that's how it feels. It's just like...
Throwaway
It's
line.
Dumb. It's like, anything remotely ominous. Like I stubbed my toe today, right?
Yeah.
I stubbed my toe.
This is the way.
It's well, guess what?
This is
the
way. It's so bad.
Or it's like... I'm literally, you could be going like, should I get the really spicy ramen that's going to make me have like diarrhea later?
This is the way. And then it's just like,
I'm just gonna
later,
say, I'm gonna
later
say
the night you're on the toilet, just, it's like,
this is the way.
And you scream to me from the other room. You good? This is the way, brother.
At first, when they started doing that stuff, I'm like, that's kind of cool. Like, it's like their sect. It's their pact. It shows honor among whatever.
Well, now it just means whatever you
now
want
it just
to
means
mean.
Whatever the heck you want it to. Just throw it around. Yeah. And you know what? It's like a curse word. Like, when I was a kid, you'd say it and be like, oh, did you hear what I said? I said the H word, heck. And then now it's just like, heck.
Yeah.
Whatever. It doesn't mean anything, you know?
Yeah, it's annoying. Another thing, too, is, like, quickly going back to the whole Grogu thing, because of how they, like, treat him or whatever, and he's a child baby, and the fact that he can do all these crazy weird flips and use the Force is so unbelievable, and it just kills me. And so, at the end...
No, you know what kills me? How he doesn't kill people. That's what kills me, because he's got all this stuff. We know he can, like, Force choke people and do all these amazing things, which now we see him have a firm grasp of his power and understanding of his power. Yeah. Before it was like, I have this power, I don't really know what it is, because I'm a baby,
yeah.
And him making all these decisions that he can, the last little scene against Moff Gideon before he's exploded.
Yeah.
He's part of the team. It's like freaking the three Spider-Men and
yeah.
No, I'm just like, just crush him. Just freaking squeeze his body and turn him into just goo.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. Because, dude, you know what was hilarious? Was I was like, this explosion happened, got Moff Gideon, and you see all them like brace themselves. And I was like, how, in my head, I'm
force
like, how,
shield.
Oh, I was like, how funny is it, would it be if they pulled the Incredibles? Where the end of the Incredibles, the fireball comes down on the family, and then it dissipates, and you see that Violet had the shield over the family. Yeah. And I'm like, but it's with the Force, so he's just holding back the fire in like a little dome. Yeah. And I thought of that, and in my head, I'm thinking, that would be so, I was like, it would be hilarious. But like, I know they're not dead, so something like that's going to happen.
It was one of those things where it's like, it's
happened
so silly that
exactly,
it's like hilariously dumb.
I kid you not, I laughed for 20 seconds.
It's
dude,
like when
I
called
alone.
It's like when I called Thor Love and Thunder, wasn't it?
Yes.
I called the scene with the kids.
Yes.
I was like, he's going to give them. They're all going to be like little mini Thors.
And we laughed so hard.
Oh, gosh.
Dude, that happened. I kid you not. I was alone watching this episode. I cracked up out loud to myself. And I'm like, I said, this is so stupid. This is so dumb.
I didn't get that hilarious at it, but
oh, God.
I do remember.
It was the fact that I thought of it in my head.
I do remember, I'm like, after seeing it happen, I'm like, oh, of course he would. Yeah.
And there's no stakes. You know how many times in Star Wars, especially in The Mandalorian, but in Star Wars in general, somebody is captured, and then whenever they decide they want to break free, they just, while they're being walked away in their handcuffs, they just take them by surprise and go, nah, and just start attacking them. I'm like, when anyone's captured in Star Wars, I never believe it, because they just break free whenever they want. That happened with Din Djarin, like, end of the episode 7. I was like, oh, he's really getting his ass beat here. Yeah. And then he gets, like, all caught up, and I was like, oh, how will he
and
get out
gonna
of this?
And you're going to capture a Mandalorian, a very, like, capable Mandalorian, when he wants to be, I guess. That's what I've learned from this season. A very capable Mandalorian. And you're just going to be like, let's just leave his, like, helmet and armor on him. You know, why yeah. not?
But yeah, and then the beginning of the next episode, it's like, oh man, he got his ass beat at the end. Like, what's going to happen? They give us a little bit of like cliffhanger. And then within 10 minutes of the first of the next episode, he breaks free just by walking down the hallway and taking him by surprise. He can just kick him in the shins and they're fine. Yeah. I'm so done with it. It's
I mean,
so
I get
annoying.
It. He's a very talented, skilled like
you can get away with that once or twice in a movie or show.
Yeah.
Every time someone's captured, that's
what
happens.
These have to be like,
always,
but the thing
always.
Is, in that area, those must be more elite stormtroopers. I mean, I get it, they have the armor, but, I mean, you would think they'd be more capable than what they actually are. This guy with no weapons whatsoever can just take them out, no problem. I mean, it's a little too cliche, it's too much of a movie trope. Oh, one more thing, and again, this is really nitpicky. What is the deal with Star Wars and everyone needs a droid?
Oh, for sure.
I mean, I guess I get it. Like, do you think that's a thing? Does everyone need a droid? Like, dude, the Mandalorians don't even use droids. They give him a droid. Fine. Okay, so now you have two little tiny comic relief characters. Frustrates me. And they don't even use them. It just sucks. Like, they don't even use R5, like, the way he's designed to be. He was designed to be, like, a meme robot that sucks. Like, he always breaks.
Yeah.
And now he's, like, stupid capable.
Dude, it's just...
I think I mentioned that last time, too, but it's just...
R5 flew in over this, like, giant canyon and lands on the ledge, and then he walks over to the ledge, looks down, and goes, and I'm like, dude, you flew over that, you dumbass. Like, you can fly. God.
It's just...
That when a droid frustrates you, you know it's bad.
It's just another just crappy written, just like, just because you need a droid, let's throw him in. He's not even, like... He's not even a consistent like character, because the way that droids have personalities in this show is just it's how it's supposed to be. He's inconsistent, and then all of a sudden he's able to like deal with this droid who I guess the way R2-D2 speaks is called binary.
Sure, dude.
And then he's trying to beep boop at Din Djarin, and he's like,
"I don't speak binary."
He's like, "I don't speak binary." I'm like, "Well, why the fuck do you have a droid that speaks only binary?"
Oh God.
Why?
Yeah, dude, it's rough.
George. Take it back.
Dude, George is rolling over. He's probably laughing. He's probably like, yeah, all these people that made fun of me, he got bullied into basically selling Star Wars, and now everyone's begging for him to get back.
They thought my prequels were pretty bad, but guess what? They're freaking looking good now, aren't they? Oh, look at little Grogu.
I hate Sandwich. Well, I hate this movie. This show sucks.
Oh, why? Why?
Bo-Katan.
She should have died.
But my point is, she's a more interesting character than Din Djarin already, because we just know more about her.
I think
she's not consistently written, but I'll say she's at least more interesting.
Even if you know her history with like previous shows and stuff,
but I don't. But even if you don't, she's still a more interesting character than Din Djarin. Not consistent.
She conveys way more emotion than he does, even with a mask on. She conveys more emotion than.
Oh, he doesn't convey very much emotion at all. But yeah.
Way.
Yeah.
And then they just like this whole trope about the Darksaber and they just break it. I'm just like, dude, I get it. It's a MacGuffin in some sorts, but like, by the way, it's my favorite word. I've said it before. I'll say it again. MacGuffin. I don't know.
And then it was supposed to be real emotional, I guess, at the end when he adopts Grogu. Okay, this is the other thing. It's like they don't have any standards or rules or anything, because they're trying to make us think that they do, but they can't write in actual like rules for the
Mandalorian.
No, because
he's supposed to have a helmet then at that point.
He hasn't made the creed. He's not old enough to speak the creed.
Well,
right, but then he overrides it because he's a parent.
He's a parent guardian.
So yeah, you're right. He should have a helmet.
So they should have just covered his
face. But no, some people can and some can't. There's no reasoning though.
There is no reason.
Bo-Katan doesn't have to, but everyone else does.
But it doesn't matter. Like Din Djarin feels a certain way about the creed and has to cover his face. I know you don't have to, but he does. So you would think he would instill those same values into his quote-unquote son, baby boy.
But also, like, my whole point with that is the fact that they're just writing rules, right? Because I know it's like hard to get a sentence out without groaning, but the fact that he was like, okay, he's my apprentice, like whatever, and she was like, he's not an apprentice because he's not old enough to speak, so he can't speak the creed, and he was like, well, can his parents override it? She goes, well, his parents are like light years away.
Yeah.
If they're still alive. Yeah. And he goes, okay, well, then I'm going to officially adopt him.
Right.
And guess what she says?
This is the way. Hmm.
She just goes, okay, you just said the words, I'm going to adopt him, so we'll consider him officially adopted. No paperwork was signed. Who's going to sign it? Nobody.
You know what I really wanted to happen?
Guess what, though? His parents never technically put him up for adoption, so you technically just stole a child, but also... It doesn't really matter. The child was homeless anyways. And we've been with him for 3 full seasons now. It's the last episode of season 3. Shut the fuck up. You were already his dad anyways. Like, yeah. Just because you're saying, I would like to officially adopt him, that makes no difference. The fact that she thinks that him saying that makes a difference, she should have said, you're basically his dad anyways. We don't know where his parents are, so you have to take care of him. But basically, by her saying okay, and that acknowledging his parents are still alive, she is giving importance to the parents that aren't
even
there.
Why does that matter? Yeah.
No, and she already knows. The fact that she's giving the parents importance, but then still allowing another man to adopt him, saying, you stole a child, and that's okay.
Yeah, and the thing is, also, those parents, he was either just found, stolen, or given to the Jedi Order. Yeah. The parents do not care or don't know about him.
My point, it's so easy to make workarounds. It's, oh, you can't, because he can't speak. Well, the parents can override. Well, yeah, but his parents are here. I'll adopt him. This is the way. What conversation did we just have?
What?
What? It's so haphazard. It's like they were writing it not knowing where it's the Michael Scott quote. Sometimes I just start a sentence and I don't know where it's going and I figure it out along the way.
Yeah.
That's every sentence in this, dude. It's so bad.
I'll be honest. That happens to me sometimes. But you know what? It doesn't happen to me every single episode of my life, but it's happened every episode of this season.
Yeah, it's...
And honestly, I'm so tired of him doing, like, little flips into things.
Dude, it looks so bad.
It looks so bad.
I don't know how I'm the only one... Like, it blew my mind that I felt like I was the only one. I had to bring that up on last podcast.
I have not seen
it online anywhere. How am I the only one complaining about the way he's flipping around? It looks like...
It literally... And I heard this. Someone said... They described it this way. It said, it looks like someone took a little baby Grogu... plushie or a little stuffed animal and just like hid behind a rock and threw it.
There's no momentum that the character himself actually gives. It looks like it's just someone took him on like a Word document and then took the image and dragged it and flipped it at the same time.
Took your mouse and just go, woo!
Yes, that's exactly what it looks like. It's so bad.
And it's so bad that it's becoming meme-y how funny it looks.
And you know what's weird?
I wanted him to jump into the water at the last when he was getting like inducted into the creed, I was like, I was really hoping he goes, wee, and jumps in.
You know what's really weird? It just that actually would have been a great ending to the episode. Just Grogu goes flip splash,
Dun 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 dun.
But what's really strange, I don't know why. Go back and watch this though. The last one of the last scenes in the last episode where they walk into the bar and they meet that pilot or whatever and they ask for that.
The one that you forget about.
Yep. So when they walk in there, Grogu is walking on the ground next to Din Djarin, which he's done a lot, but he has this weird like dress type thing on, so you don't ever see his feet shift. He kind of just kind of waddles, but you can't see it. For some reason, in this one shot, you see his feet and you see them moving up and down, and he's actually walking, and it looks good.
Oh, I need to look back.
Maybe not good, but it looks better. Like he actually has, it looks like he's actually moving his own body. And then he jumps from the ground up to a chair, and you can see him squat down and jump, and it looks decent. And I'm like, why did you not do this through the whole season? You just proved it was like the ultimate slap across the face because they're like, oh, by the way, we can make this look good. We just choose not to.
Yeah. We're on a time schedule and we wait till the very last minute to ask for this stuff so that it really pressures our effects department and makes them feel really terrible about their lives and their jobs and their families. And then we don't pay them very much either. So
another slap in the face of like how just dumb, like silly this whole show is. The end. The Looney Tunes ending.
Oh my gosh, yes.
Thank you.
You know what I called it, though? I called it the sniper scope. Because I'm just like, please just kill him. Because I'm like, they're ending this so stupidly.
The very end, where he's holding up a little frog, and it's like a circle. And it circles in on him, and everything's black, and then it's just like, I don't know how to explain it, but it's like in Looney Tunes when it zooms in and then they do a funny thing and it closes the circle. And I'm like, this is, dude, that's bad. It was so silly.
So where, okay, I'm imagining, like, you're familiar with like Mel Brooks films, right?
Not really. I'm
Blazing
sorry.
Blazing Saddles, Spaceballs, like all that kind of stuff.
I've never seen them.
Anyways, they're not really they're very similar to like Kung Pao.
Yeah.
Just dumb comedy, like stupid slapstick, like over the head, like over the end jokes, like kind of raunchy. Well, that's like something that would belong in a Mel Brooks film.
Yeah.
And to put it in like a film series that like, well, it's known for its transitions and how it closes films. And like in the main trilogies, you end a film the same way in every single film. You start them out the same way in every single film. The way you transition scenes, you use those very like themed now to Star Wars.
Oh, the wipes and the zoom ins and
it's
stuff.
Like,
and that those are like very dated things,
but
it's very iconic to Star Wars.
Yeah,
now.
They are Star Wars, and it's just like, was that what they were thinking? It's like, oh, it's kind of
like that.
It's like that,
dude. It was so
no,
bad.
It is not like that at all. It was
Looney Tunes.
I mean,
zoom
I'm cool with
me.
Him having his own little like piece of land, and he's. Even though he's had this like thing where he's wanting this family, I guess.
Also,
I don't know. And now
again,
he wants to live by himself.
Just something they make up and they just say and they never explain, which is, oh yeah, you have to go off on your own with your apprentice now, just like it happened to you. Why? Give me a reason. And what are you talking about?
I guess
they just say things and they go, you're right, I do have to do that thing.
Yeah, it's like you have to go in and train him on adventures and quests and stuff. I'm like, all right, what about all the other younglings that you've had on the show?
That are training and challenging each other. What? That didn't happen for all the other ones.
Yep.
Dude, it just doesn't
also,
make sense.
Now that he's on Nevarro, I guess they kind of set it up like in between Greef Karga's, or whatever, in between adventures, he's allowed to be here. Why not just be the frickin' sheriff or whatever?
Of Nevarro.
Yeah. Like, why doesn't that be your thing?
Yeah, I don't know.
Like, because it's such an easy job. They wrote out the controversial actress who was the sheriff.
Dude. And at the end, when they're talking to the pilot, and he's like, so you want to work for the New Republic? He's like, well, on a case-by-case basis, independent contractor. And he goes, well, that's illegal. He's like, well, don't tell anybody. And so basically that's his plan, right? And he's like, so send me out on, if you need protection or you need things taken care of. He said, because I'm going to be a lot more, Din Djarin says, I'm going to be a lot more picky with the missions that I take because I got this kid now.
Now?
Now?
You've gone on missions with this kid to like fight bad guys and monsters and all this stuff. And
Just nothing makes sense, dude.
My heart.
Whenever they want them to do something, they say, oh, you have to do this because of this. And they go, you're right, I do. And then it left the audience going, that doesn't track with anything that just happened. But you don't have time to think about it because they're just moving on to the next thing.
Navarro's going to explode in 10 seconds.
Oh.
I'm bringing the kid.
That's another thing. Navarro did explode. The pirates took over, and they showed like a big wide shot of the town, and like most of the buildings were crumbled,
decimated.
Guess what? Episode later, completely rebuilt.
Droids, man.
Completely rebuilt.
Droids.
And it was all bustling town just like it was before. And I'm like, dude, this... Oh,
Navarro is more than a city.
It's a people.
It's a people. What is that from?
Asgard.
Asgard. Asgard's not a planet. It's a people.
It's a people.
Why? Okay, so one of the questions I kind of asked myself, I'm like, are they going, after all this, I mean, they have other kind of properties coming up. They have Ahsoka, they have the Acolyte, whatever the hell that means. Something else, I think, too. Do you think they're going to make a season 4?
I actually looked that up.
I haven't looked it up. I've kind of been like hating this right
now. So far, it has not been canceled, Mandalorian. In fact, this is just from an article. The first thing that pops up, don't know how credible this is, but I'm just reading this off online. Mandalorian has not been canceled. In fact, the last time the topic of the show's ending came up, Favreau revealed it doesn't even have a planned ending in sight. I mean, have they planned anything about the show so far?
Very funny, sir.
He expressed hope that the story would continue and also confirmed that season 4 is already written.
He needs a new hope, I would say.
So season 4 is already written. It's just, will it get picked back up?
Oh, gosh. Here's the thing. This is what I think is going to happen. I think by itself, I don't think they would do another season. If they did, I think it's going to be, you know, it's not going to be the thing that Disney Plus wants to bring people on to buy the streaming service and all that stuff, which major reason for this existing is Disney Plus, obviously. I think... unless Ahsoka does something and they do give it the Book of Boba Fett treatment and bring him on, which they're going to probably. They're going to have him in the show, an episode at least. And that to derive some kind of interest or yearning for more. Because Book of Boba Fett, seeing Din Djarin in that and seeing where he was at and the things he was about to get into had me hyped for season 3.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I mean, not to mention season 1 and 2 were good.
Yeah.
If not just better than this. Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah. I don't know either, dude.
I don't know.
Okay, try to play devil's advocate for a second, because I don't like to just crap on stuff forever. And that's all we've been doing. Is I try to really go, okay, what's good? Can we talk about good from
I like the...
But I'm going to be honest. I'm having a real hard time.
You like the fish love?
The fish love?
Yeah.
Oh, the aliens? That was so bad. Oh, my. No, I love you. It was so.
Oh, I love you.
It was so. I mean, it's already goofy enough to have these.
Because tonight will be the night
I will fall for you.
Like, and then she, like, first off, you cannot pick more ugly characters in a freaking mom, whatever it's called, Mon Calamari, the freaking big ass fish boys, and then. This tentacle woman who's like got these beady eyelashes and then just
it
these
felt,
three teeth.
Dude,
in the
that
front.
Whole intro felt like a parody. It was so bad. Like, it's already hard enough to make aliens try to love each other, but just the way it was written.
It was
100% like,
something from like Saturday Night Live.
Yes.
And then she like uses her tentacles to like rub his face a little bit. I was like, also. Okay,
but I don't want to leave you. I love you. It was so... Oh, my God. It was so bad.
And one thing I really have a question about, it made me think. It made me do a little bit of soul searching, if you will. All right. Say sometime in the future, we discover there's other alien life,
mm-hmm.
right? Would you ever... Do you think people will fall in love with those aliens? Or how about this? No, let's not even go to that. Let's say here on Earth, we find out that... I'm trying to say something that's not too controversial.
About bestiality right now?
Yes. Say animals could talk. Animals were just as smart as you and me. They have the same emotions, the same feelings, the same yearning for things, the same physical needs. You know what I'm saying?
But they could speak it out of conscience?
But they could speak just as well as me and you are speaking right now. Do you think people would be down with that?
There would definitely be people down for that. Are you asking me if I'd be down for that? I mean, it depends. I mean, what kind of booty are we talking?
Like a gorilla, brother. Woo! That probably just clipped really bad.
Bro, you see that antelope ass?
Bro, this donkey, bro.
Dude, they've made some cartoon animals. Disney made some cartoon animals look pretty good. That's all I'm
just saying.
I don't know why they're trying to sexualize these animals so much.
You seen that Daisy?
You seen Zootopia?
You seen Daisy's beak, brother?
Bro, you see Lola Bunny, dude? Lola Bunny, dude?
Bro, that's not Disney.
I know,
bro.
I'm just saying. No, I'm not going to fucking animal, dude.
Damn. Yeah, me neither. That's fucking... That's gross. Ew. Wow. I would never do that. Wow.
You're just getting permission to not feel bad if an alien lands here and you want to be like, well, she do be kind of fine.
Do not come. Do not come.
I'm going to bee-boo, bee-boo, bop. Oh, God. Okay, so we got real distracted. Anything good?
Anything good?
I'm struggling.
Okay, if we're going to start talking about good things about this, I guess... It's really cool seeing these two different sects of Mandalorians come together and kind of understand each other.
No,
like,
I disagree.
You don't? Because
they don't understand each other. They'd make no effort to try to understand each other.
I think
that's another bad thing. Holy crap.
No, I think they rally under something. They rally under a cause to get Mandalore back.
It's not emotionally driving enough.
They don't
though.
Do it good. Do it well, I guess. But I think that idea in itself was a good kind of like... If they could have made that work better, I think that's a great objective. I think that would be a
great story arc. A great reason for them to come together. I agree. Too bad they didn't really do a great job.
We didn't say it's great. We say it would be great.
They're on that like ship or whatever that's like sailing across the ocean, and the two Mandalorians that have a lot of beef with each other, the huge buff guy who never takes off his helmet with a machine gun.
Yeah,
he's
a Vizsla.
And the guy who was the leader of the mask off people.
They're called the Night Owls.
Who cares? Who
get it right, nerd.
But who was the leader of them until Bo-Katan showed back up? They had beef. They were playing some weird space chess game. And then he was like, you guys always make up rules. And like, are
savages.
We going to fight? And then they fight. After there was a long speech of like, we need to make sure we're working together and not fighting. Like that was, they made a big deal about that. And then... Because Bo-Katan said, the only thing that can destroy us is our division between each other.
Yeah.
So then they fight. No one's stepping in. Bo-Katan and Din Djarin are standing there. Din Djarin goes, should I step in? And she goes, no one from either side can step in. It was bound to happen. What? It was bound to happen. You just said we shouldn't be doing it. So
you're just accepting that, nonchalant?
That's like telling your two kids to say like, hey, guys, you need to learn to stop fighting each other because you're going to have a lot of people out there. There's going to be bullies. You guys need to stand up for each other. We're family. Stick together. Have each other's back. Plenty of other people are gonna try to fight with you. You need to be able to stand up for yourself and stand up for each other in front of them. That is important. Do not fight each other. 5 minutes later, they fight each other. You go, it's bound to happen.
Sounds like my brother. It sounds like my brother and I.
No, you say, what did I just say? Like, stop. Like, they should have... And here's what's crazy is like maybe the idea was have them fight it out. First of all, horrible idea. But let's say they're like, have them fight it out. Doesn't make sense. We're not going to intrude. All right. Everyone just stands there. But then Grogu intrudes and she goes, wow, you raised him right. That was the right thing to do. Then why didn't you do it?
No, 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 no.
Everything is so backwards in
question.
The show, man.
Question. What? Okay.
So what's good about the show?
So we found out what the big bad was doing. I keep wanting to call him Gus from Breaking Bad, but it's not Gus.
Moff Gideon?
Moff Gideon. We found out what he was wanting Grogu for.
The Force.
He wants his Force. To make a bunch of other Moff Gideons.
Yeah.
We knew that's what they wanted him for. They wanted him to like because he's got midichlorians.
Since when can you just harvest that? I guess it makes sense because if it is in your blood, it is supposed to be midichlorians. If that's still a thing, I guess
was that,
that makes
a
sense.
Big just kind of like the lead up to that. Like that's what this whole thing's been about. Apparently, Do you think it's just like, meh?
Yeah, because they talked about it for a whole 2 seconds, and they were killed anyway. So it's just like, meh. He gave this whole speech after they were dead. So it's like, oh, that's, well, we don't care because they're dead. Like, at least if he had talked about it before. Also, we should have found out, like, from a different way, like him talking to one of his sidekick peoples, but not him talking to Mando about it, because him talking to Mando about it makes no sense, because it was such a weird monologue of him explaining what he wanted to do.
Dude, all that he
was
does so, is monologue. That's
but it was
thing.
So for the audience. Like, yeah. It was like, why are you telling him all this? This is just for us. It's just for exposition.
It's a cliche villain trope. Also, yeah, now the freaking the cloning guy that was trying to be reintroduced into society because he was on the Imperial side, that was literally all for nothing. Nothing paid off with that, other than the fact that it just shows that, I guess,
it just showed us
the Empire is still around somehow. There's still little parts of them kind of infiltrating or whatever, which we already know that's going to happen. So the way that you describe it and make it seem like it's, oh, it's a big reveal. No, it's not a big reveal. We know it's happening.
Yeah.
How do you think there was a freaking episode 7, 8, and 9?
Yeah, we didn't really need the backstory of that whole girl and that, those two characters.
Yeah, they literally did not need that whole half episode. No, whole episode.
They could have introduced those characters and said enough about them in 10 minutes to know that when she's contacting him later in the last episode of whatever, to inform him, like, we understand who she is and what she's about. We would know that within 10 minutes if you gave her 10 minutes in another episode when she shows up again at the end to inform him about something. We had a whole episode for her to be like, hey, this is what's happening in the Mandalorians and... Who were they? Oh, it's Din Djarin and Bo-Katan. Okay. That was what your character was built up to do? Was tell us that?
Yeah.
Okay. Dude, I don't understand. I don't
understand. What's good about the show again?
Okay.
Let's think.
Dude, usually I can come up with something.
Do you like...
Usually
so
I can,
this was like cameo
can't.
Heavy. Do you... Okay, again, that's not story driven. That's not part of the actual story. It's just...
What?
Technical stuff. The cameo, the amount of cameos from like famous people.
Oh, I don't care.
You really don't?
I love Jack
Dude,
Black.
It's Christopher Lloyd, brother.
Oh, I forgot about that.
He's trying to get back to 1955 or 1985.
What was the whole... Again. Dude, everything you talk about just brings up another thing in my head. What was his whole purpose in that episode?
He was a separatist.
Okay.
It was nothing to do with anything.
No, I know. Exactly. That's my point.
It's one thing. That's
he
thing.
Wants to have I droids that was... can kill people. Why? Give me an intention and a reason, or else you're just evil for being evil.
So here's the thing. I was really thinking that he was, you know, going to be like some kind of Imperial like loyalist. He's not. He's even pre that. He's separatist loyalist. And...
They just wanted cool
it's
cameos, not just from the famous person. They wanted cameos from the battle droids from the episode 1 and 2.
Which is cool, I guess. Like, I guess it's cool. But the thing is, I was like, that is just, if that's what you needed that person for, I think it was a bad idea. They Scooby-Dooed him.
Yeah, it was very.
It was like, he was like, and I would have gotten away with it too if it wasn't for you stinking Mandalorians, which I feel like Mando's a slur. Is that a slur?
No, I don't think so.
Filthy, grubby Mandos.
I don't know, dude.
Helmet
like,
heads.
Yeah, his character didn't make sense because it was like, yeah, they're ready to kill people whenever. Okay.
He goes, don't move.
If you decide to.
And by the way, that was a big that's what she said button. Did you notice that? That's what it looked like. Nobody move or I'm going to hit the that's what she said button.
But like, why did he want them to, why did he program them to go haywire and do bad things and start battling again? Why? There's no reason.
In little segments? Like,
there's
not,
no reason.
Not revolting and doing, like, a big, like, rebellion against that
planet.
Yeah,
it's like to leave breadcrumbs people to find you.
Yeah.
He never said he wanted to completely, revolt against the entire planet. Never said that.
Yeah, that whole episode just sucked. Because he was like, well, Bo-Katan literally asked the right question for that episode. He was like, well, why don't you just turn them all off? He's like, then all these people here will... They're lazy as hell. I don't know. That's literally what it was. It was like they're lazy and they don't want to work. They're like getting their toes painted. I don't know. Back rubs from robots.
So what's good about the show?
What's good about this show? Oh my gosh. I cannot believe we can't think of a freaking dang good thing. I mean, there's cool. Like, I hate it that the only thing this show has going for it is nods to other things and like hints at other things and freaking just cameos from famous actors.
Yeah.
Like, why is that the coolest thing about this show? That should not be a thing. We should be like, man, do you remember that time he did this? That was so badass.
Yeah.
The only badass thing that happened was like...
I can't think of a single cool thing Mando did in this season. Not one. Not one cool thing he did.
He got captured by a freaking worm in a robot outfit.
It's pretty cool. There you go. That's the cool thing about this season. The design for that droid worm thing was cool.
It was like a little bit of Grievous. Grievous baby.
Yep.
Oh, I'm just sad.
Yeah.
So what's next on the docket?
As far as what we're going to talk about next?
Yeah, what are we...
Guardians, hopefully next week.
Hopefully we can talk about Guardians. Oh my gosh.
Please, give me... If you can give me a superhero or Star Wars movie that I can talk positively about, I will be so happy.
Look, here we go.
Last time that happened was No Way Home.
How about this? You have HBO Max?
Yeah.
I think the original Michael Keaton, Tim Burton Batman is on there.
Yeah.
If we can't do that, I think if we can't do Guardians,
yeah.
Which I'm really going to try to... I hate responsibilities.
Me too.
Listen, anybody who's listening to this, if you're listening to this, thank you, first off. Secondly, when you're in that like early 30s and you're trying to have responsibilities, like I got a camper I got to sell. I still haven't sold it. I've been trying to wash this thing literally for a month. Yeah. Every time I have time to be able to wash it, to sell it, freaking rains.
Well, there you go. Just add the soap. The water's there.
Oh, yeah. I made that joke with my wife. She was like, that's stupid.
Oh, sorry.
I don't know, man. Anyways, if we can't do Guardians, I say it's very easy to do the Tim Burton.
How many of them are there? Three?
There's two Tim Burton Batman movies.
Okay.
But really, I think all we'll need for this is the first one.
Okay.
The second one's cool, too, because Danny DeVito's in it, and it's sick. Yeah. So is...
It's going to be super goofy, but I'm kind of looking forward to it.
It's goofy and in a retro cool way. It's good.
Yeah, you say that.
You want to get nuts? Let's get nuts.
Wow, I see what you did there. But yeah, hopefully Guardians, man. Hopefully next week will be positive and uplifting. Positive and uplifting.
Hey, I have a question.
A good thing. And we might have a guest on that one. Got to run that by you.
What?
I want my boy Chris Copeland. You've met him.
Okay, cool.
To come on. He loves Marvel stuff, Star Wars stuff. And he said he wanted to be on the Mando episode. I said, no, you don't. Because he likes The Mandalorian.
The Mandalorian, but I don't like this season.
He does. And he said he thinks it's good. And I said, you're going to get torn apart, dude. I was like, if you want to do that, he would do it, though. He's a good sport. He's a cool guy. And we probably have really good debate. Actually, someone here who would fight the other side. So it probably would have been good.
Yeah, he should have. Why did you not do that?
I don't know. I'm sorry.
You know my doors are open to everyone.
I know.
But anyways, hey, I have a question.
It's not that I didn't want him on here for that. I just...
You ever dance with the devil in the pale moonlight?
What?
You ever dance with the devil in the pale moonlight?
No.
All right, well, we got to watch Batman.
All right, it's been fun, I guess.
Is that what that's what you call this?
It's been... That's bad, brother.
Maybe... Oh. So Tyler's been thinking about doing another podcast, like in association with this one, kind of a little bit.
Oh God, really. don't announce this
but
to the world.
I think where we save all our movie stuff for this one, and then that whole like hour and a half of us just talking crap and catching up and all that stuff will be on the other one. We'll call it That's Bad, Brother.
It's a work in progress. We'll see if it happens.
Maybe, I don't know. We'll work on the words.
But Take this however you want. You can put any meaning behind what I'm about to say because it means whatever you want it to mean. And this is the way.
Ew. Ew. No. No. All right. Email all your, shitting on Tyler to
www.suckmyballstyler@thatsmoviebrothers.com. This is the way.